prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hey, everybody. This is Kevin Gallagher up here in Connecticut. I am not Butch. And Butch is still a little bit under the weather, guys. I thought that, you know, he'd be all good and ready to go and be in the captain's chair. He gave me a text message today, and he just wants to let everybody know that he's still just not quite ready to get back here to the captain's chair. And if I would do the show for him and sub for him tonight and tomorrow night. So I quickly was able to get a couple of really great guests together for tonight, and I got another great guest coming to you tomorrow. So that much I do know, and don't worry about him. Pray for him. He's going to be fine. It's just that he wants to make sure that he can, you know, do the best show possible for you when he gets back. Folks, I'm Kevin Gallagher. You're listening to Call to Decision. Butch is here every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday nights here on GS Radio, and it's always a great honor that I have to be able to sit in for the man himself, and known Butch for many years, and I am his favorite Connecticut Yankee, so he won't just let any Northerner host his program. It's a very short list. I think I'm maybe the only one on the list, but folks, I want to say thank you so much for tuning in, for listening, however it is you're doing it. We're also being carried on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Full disclosure, I am the founder, owner, CEO of the Truth Be Told Radio Network, and we carry Butch's show on the network, and we aggressively will broadcast over all three of the smart speakers that are out there. That's the Alexa, the Google, and the Siri, the HomePod. So if you're having a night where, you know, if you're listening over shortwave and it's not coming in too well, I have a shortwave radio. I know how that can happen. If you do happen to have one of those devices, you can listen in crystal clear 128 kPS sound, CD quality sound. That's the great thing about them. Yeah, I know they listen to you and everything else, but if you need to listen to the show, it's a great way to do it. I have Bill and Kathy Farr here, and they are hosts on my network, and Pastor Bill Farr and his wife Kathy are from Wisconsin, so you can kind of see where this is going, right? Because Wisconsin, we know about some of the things that happened there with the election, and I wanted to get them on the program. They had just taken a trip down to Florida, and I think they drove both ways. It's a long trip. So we got a lot to talk about, and Bill, Kathy, thank you so much for joining me here, kind of on short notice, too, here on the program tonight. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, we're kind of those shoot-from-the-hip kind of people anyways.
Yeah. So,
yeah. And we're from the far north, but we'd really rather be Southerners.
Yeah. Florida's about as far south as you can go. But tell me a little bit about yourselves, a little bit that you would like the listeners to know about you before we move forward.
Well, I've been a pastor for probably a little over 40 years, and 30 of them in one town, one church. So I've got a little bit of experience there. I've done, you know, hundreds of funerals and weddings, and, you know, I've met quite a few people, different people across the country as well. Lived in California for a while, also born and raised in, born in Ohio and raised in California. So a little bit of background on me.
Right. And I'm his wife. I'm his second wife. So his first wife passed away about 2012. Yeah. And we've only been married now for a little over 6 years.
Okay.
And we're very outspoken about conservative values. We actually preach it from the pulpit, Bill does, and then we do music for the church, so we sing together. And we have just been very involved the last 4 years with President Trump being in office and very outspoken MAGA people.
It's excellent. So you guys had taken, I guess you drove from Wisconsin all the way down to Florida, but before we get to that, what was it like there in Wisconsin with all of this stuff with the election going on?
Well, some may know, we have a Democratic governor, and so he pretty much shut things down like they tried to do, well, I guess they did in New York, and was real cautious and didn't want things to open up. And although in our little northern town, we're quite a number of miles away from Madison, and many of the people in our town opened up and were just acting normal. But it's been a problem. I mean, you know, they have to follow the law too, and it's just crushing people. There's a few that have gone into more internet style selling and doing business, but it's been a very difficult time.
Right, and all that to say, most of the whole state, except for two dots in Madison and Milwaukee, voted for Trump. All you see are Trump signs. All people talk about is pro-Trump. So when what happened on election night, no one could believe it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was rather ham-fisted. I mean, I remember seeing videos of, I'm not sure where it was, if it was in your state or a different one. It might have been Georgia, actually, where you see the people pulling the ballots out from underneath the table, and there's nobody in the room now. They didn't realize, I guess, that they were being videotaped, and they're pulling out a ballot and running it through the machine like 5-6 times, putting that ballot aside, grabbing another one and doing the same thing over and over and over again.
The big scandal in Wisconsin was the indefinitely confined, and they were labeling indefinitely confined for anyone who was afraid of getting COVID that had to stay home, and they were doing all sorts of shenanigans with ballots and filling them out for people, and they were going to homeless places and going to nursing homes and filling out ballots for people. So that's what Wisconsin's big thing was, and there were laws in Wisconsin that was not allowable, and it accounted for about 200 and some ballots that were then illegal, or 200 and some thousand that were then illegal, and we just couldn't get this taken care of.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Truly amazing what went on. And
frustrating.
No, go ahead. Did you have something to add?
It's just frustrating to see the kinds of lawless behavior across the country, really, and nothing is happening. It's just like that's okay, and kind of reminded us of the scripture in Isaiah, you know, it says what evil is good and good is evil.
Yeah.
Things are just flipped.
That's true. It's what kind of upside-down world are we? And speaking of lawlessness, that is really brought to the front when you find out the judicial branch is not doing anything. No one will hear the cases. No one will, not the Supreme Court even.
Right.
So that's where lawlessness seems to reign now.
Yeah, it's interesting because I had an incident with someone I know, and he's very liberal. And he was like, you know, where do you get off saying that there was vote fraud in the election? I go, dude, it was so ubiquitous. There's vote fraud everywhere. And it's like, well, no judge will hear the case. I said, we got corrupt judges. And you go back to all the judges, a lot of them, you know, you go back to the 8 years of Obama, you have a lot of these judges that were appointed then, and they're not going to stick their necks out. They're not going to be the first on the dance floor, so to speak, to be the ones that risk their careers, their judgeships, to hear these cases. And I think that's kind of, well, wrong, but you know, yeah. I'm not the judge. And if it was me, I'd like, yeah, I want to see the evidence. But to not even look at the evidence, that's a whole different
exactly.
matter.
That's kind of where we thought is, you know, if there was no fraud, if there was no corruption, then open up the court and look at it.
Bring the
information in, bring the evidence. And if it doesn't pan out, well, then there it goes.
But we think, too, that many of the judges have been compromised or possibly threatened. This deep state is far deeper, I think, than anyone thought it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're talking about a swamp. Maybe it's actually an ocean.
Right.
Yeah.
It certainly is evil, that's for sure.
So, I mean, we all kind of agree here that it looks like the election was, I mean, corrupt to the core. I think Trump actually did win big. I mean, if you look at the numbers, I can't take out my trusty calculator here. We'll say 77 million people, right? They said voted for Trump, right? And then I guess it's
around
80.
And even more, if you feel like ballots were thrown away.
Now, how many did they say voted for Biden? It was like 80 million or something, 81 million?
Yes, 81 million.
Yeah.
Right. So that is 158 million total votes, and there's allegedly about 130 million total registered voters in the United States. So if you do that, right, and you minus 130, you're going to get 28 million overvotes of votes that shouldn't exist. So how can we say that there was no corruption in the election?
Yeah, there's a guy named Peter Navarro. Some might have heard of him, and you can check him out online. He's got three publications, actually, and they go through step by step every bit of the voter fraud and voter irregularities, and it's just crazy how this election was handled. It just it blows your mind as to the corruption. We never saw this in our entire lives. We knew there was a little corruption here and there. JFK won Chicago by fraudulent votes, and Nixon didn't contest it. And just let it go, and then Nixon was elected the next term. But, you know, we knew there was corruption, but never at this kind of volume.
Yeah, not like this. And I have run political campaigns. I founded a political party, a local party for my town, and we got to be potent enough to where if a candidate didn't take our endorsement, say they were a Republican or a Democrat, if they didn't take our endorsement, in addition, they wouldn't win the election. They actually needed us. So it made things very interesting in town because of that little caveat. And I have seen things happen, the old style machines that I guess we were still using, but we don't use them here. I call them the electronic fraud machines. You run the piece of paper through the Diebold machine, Dominion machine, gets turned into ones and zeros. And I try to explain this, guys, all the time to people, but if you don't understand computers, it's kind of hard. But all you have to understand with a computer is that all they understand is open and close. That open and close is one and zero. That's it.
So on and
you're
off.
You're on and off, open and close, one and zero is all they understand. So you take a ballot, a paper ballot, you can picture that in your mind. It's always going to be a ballot, no matter what you do. You set your coffee down on it, use it as a bookmark, whatever. It's still a ballot. No matter what happens, it's a ballot. Now, as soon as you run that through the magical mystery machine, it turns into ones and zeros. And a one and a zero is a one and a zero. That can be a music file. It can be a text document. It can be anything you want it to be. So then you look at these machines, and they're actually designed so that somebody that knows nothing about a computer can go in and hack the results of an election.
Yeah.
And you have them hooked up to the internet. Really bad idea. Why you would hook up something that's supposed to be completely secure to the internet, where we see now with Germany and we see with Italy and the stuff that's breaking there, the internet doesn't know any boundaries or state borders or borders of countries or oceans or whatever. It just is going to connect. Bad idea. Really bad idea. So this is where we're at. So
I just wanted to comment that our drive across country there and back to Florida, and we were gone about a month.
Yep.
All we saw was Trump support signs still everywhere. So the fact that Biden would have gotten that many millions of voters when he couldn't even get 10 at a rally does not make any sense.
And he could hardly put two sentences together. That was another problem.
Right.
Well, there's also the law, you know, averages and things that work out. And I know from watching vote counts in my town, they'd open up the first machine and they would see how the votes went. And then after about the third machine, no matter how many machines they had in the town, you would get a pretty good idea how that vote was going to go, because you would see it starting to trend. And as you're saying, 40,000 people I'd see would show up there in your state in Wisconsin in the bitter cold for a Trump rally, and he'd hit five rallies, have 40,000 people, five people show up at a Biden rally. That should translate into the number of votes that were actually done on Election Day.
Exactly.
And
one other thing, too, this county that we live in here in Wisconsin is actually Democrat. They've always gone Democrat, and even though there are a number of Republicans here and conservatives, the vote always went Democrat. However, in this election, it went Republican, and that was never in all the years that I've been here in this area, that we've never had the vote go that direction. But this time it did. So in my mind, it really kind of showed the thrust of how many people were voting for Trump.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I see the same thing up here up north in New England, very Democrat, blue states, et cetera. I just think that what might have happened, I don't know. I mean, we really don't know. The problem is we don't know, and there's a lot of conjecture that we have to do, is that so many votes came in, it disrupted the algorithm in the machines themselves, and then it couldn't deal with it. And this is why you go back to 2016. I told people, look, the election of Donald Trump in 2016 was a bona fide miracle, because I don't think they took him very seriously. I think they thought, okay, he's just going to lose. Nobody's going to vote for him. He's, you know, known for, you know, info, you know, TV and this and that, and doing reality shows and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And he got overwhelming number of votes. He was very, very, and I think it overwhelmed the machines. And they were fully expecting Hillary to come in and finish the job that they started 12 years before. So now
they were not set. I mean, their algorithm was in place, but they were not set in 2016 with all these backup fraudulent ballots. So they knew what they had to do this time, and that's why they shut down the election at around midnight and went to Operation Plan B and got all those ballots out from every nook and cranny.
Yeah.
So you guys took this trip from Wisconsin to Florida. I think you drove, and you were going down, I guess, to see friends. You wanted to get some rest and relaxation, and you wound up staying a month. So why don't we get into that? We're going to be taking a break at the bottom of the hour, just so you know. But tell me about this trip.
Well, it was interesting. We on our way down, of course, we stopped at restaurants to have something to eat. A few restaurants, it was outdoor eating. In a couple states, it was outdoor eating only or takeout. But we ran into a couple places where it was indoor, and we'd go in and say, you know, boy, we're glad you're open, you know, and they would tell us, well, we're not supposed to be, but so far nobody said anything. And, of course, you know, everybody wanted you to wear a mask when you walked in and walked out, but you're okay to not have a mask on while you're sitting at the table, which is really a strange thing for me, because I guess the virus knows when you're sitting at a table and going to eat, you know. So anyway, you know, it was just kind of humorous to see everybody, you know, wearing the masks, and even on the beach where there was a couple people.
Oh my gosh! Yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
And we, one real funny thing, we were looking out the window, and here's this guy sunning himself on the beach. He's sitting in this chair, and the sun's full on him, and he's got his shorts on and shirt off and everything, but he's wearing a mask.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody's
yeah,
around him.
It's amazing.
Completely alone.
I got to tell you this story. This past weekend, I went into Petco, I think it was, and we had to pick up dog food. So
yeah.
I'm there waiting in line, okay?
Yeah.
And there's a woman up ahead of me. She's being checked out. And I noticed when I walked in, it said, "We are no longer accepting returns at the store."
Uh-huh.
And I went, that's really weird. It's right on the front door. As you walk in, well, I go in, I get what I need. I'm waiting. And there's a woman there checking out. And she goes, "So listen, why is it you're not taking returns at the store?" And the girl behind the counter says, "Well, the company policy now is that we don't take stuff back because we don't know where it's been, we don't know who touched it, and we don't want people getting sick." And
uh-huh.
The woman says, "Listen, I'm a nurse at Danbury Hospital. I work with COVID patients all day long. You don't get COVID from touching things. You get them from people who are infected with COVID." And
yeah.
The girl's like, "Well, I'm sorry, that's just a company policy, this and that." And she was kind of indignant. She goes, "Listen, that's a really stupid policy." And I'm doing everything I can to not laugh out loud.
Yeah.
I mean, here
and
we are.
We're both over 60.
Right. We're both over 60. We traveled all the way down by car, all the way down to Florida, all the way back, and we do not have COVID.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the other thing, you know, I did some study on it, and the closest thing we have, of course, is the Spanish flu that was 1918, you know, 1718. And so there were some cities that said masks only. They had a mask mandate, and people had to wear masks all the time in their city. There was another city not too far away that said you didn't have to wear a mask. You know, all bets were off on that, and you could do whatever. And when you look at the statistics in the graph, they are shadows of one another, that the same infection rate and the same drop in deaths and infection rate, it was exactly the same, just like they were, you know, there was no effect. And so in my opinion, you know, masks may help you feel better, but it's really not going to do much for protection. What really is the protection is making sure you wash your hands, don't touch your face, you know, don't get that close to people and, you know, get that you don't know for sure. And, you know, just to be a little precaution. But, you know, wearing a mask, it just makes people look goofy.
Yeah. And what's even funnier is when we were walking outside in Florida, we would see some people wearing masks outside, and we were coming down the street. They would cross over to the other side of the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would turn their faces away. They were all panicked. And then really the state of Illinois was completely locked down.
Yeah.
You could not go into restaurants.
Right. I mean, I understand the panic at the very beginning because nobody knew anything about this thing. But
yes.
Now there's therapeutics, there's ways to handle it. We read articles about zinc and vitamin D,
yes.
And they said that the people who get the disease have a depleted vitamin D. And what they do in the hospitals that are well aware of this, they pump up vitamin D to 100,000 IEUs per 100 pounds. So if you're a 200-pound person, 200,000 IEUs of the vitamin D. And,
yeah.
You know, pump up the zinc, because that's what causes the virus not to be able to ramp through your system.
It's amazing. The way I look at it is like this. If you have a mask on, you're basically trying to stop a golf ball with a hula hoop.
Yeah.
Doesn't
yeah.
work very well because the filtering is so wide compared to a virus, which is tiny, that it passes
yeah.
right through that. And I know with the country, I think it was the country of Sweden, they really haven't done any of this, and their rates
right.
of infection and this and that are no different. They're the same. And the way I look at it, too, is, look, you have a people get sick from this. I know people who have gotten sick from this. I know people who have died from it. Okay.
Right.
But the younger people don't get affected by it. When you're in your 50s, you might get sick longer. Somebody in my family, he's in his 50s.
Yeah.
He just had pneumonia. Same idea, same family, same everything. Guess what? It took him 2 weeks to get over it. His 20-something-year-old son, he was over it in a couple of days.
Right. Exactly.
That's how these things work.
Yeah,
so,
and you can't tell me that people are wearing masks the proper way. You see some all through our travels. Some people wore them underneath their noses. Some people wore them on their chin.
it was kind
of ridiculous when you saw how many people were really not wearing it the proper way. And the mask itself, you know, how do you know it's filtering what it needs to filter? And it's just kind of a joke.
Yeah. Now you traveled. It's my notes here say that you traveled through Illinois, Kentucky, Tennessee, Mississippi, and Alabama, and of course Florida. Now, do you see, from what I'm gathering, you saw a large difference in the way these states handled this, according to the, let's just say, the political party the governor was affiliated with.
Yeah, Illinois, as we said, was shut down. I mean, there were people that it was like. Driving down the road, you saw people wearing masks in their car alone, and that was just, you know, to me, ridiculous. And most of the restaurants were either shut down completely, and we saw so many. We'd drive through a parking lot where, you know, like a mini mall kind of thing, outdoor mall.
Yeah.
And so many restaurants were closed and pretty much done.
Yeah.
There was a large percentage of the small-time restaurants, mom-and-pop places, that just shut down, and I don't think they're ever going to open.
Right. I mean, this has been horrendous for middle-class, small business owners, and it does make you wonder, was there a motive behind it? Maybe it got out too early by accident, but why were they working on this in the Wuhan lab in the first place?
Yeah,
that's a good question that I don't really hear asked too much.
Yeah,
you know,
we think that it was being concocted, because why in the world would you try to? It's they knew that this virus could not jump from animals to human without help. It would take, you know, hundreds of years for this thing to mutate to be able to jump from animal to human. And so in this lab, they were jump-starting it. They were manipulating it so it would be transferable to human. Why in the world would you want to do that?
Exactly. You know what's interesting is this weekend we stopped to pick up some – we pick up a special diet food for our dog, and we get it at the vet. Okay, so here's, I'll finish the story when we get back. Folks, you're listening to Call for Decision. I'm Kevin Gallagher, sitting in for Butch Paw. We'll be back after the break.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, Had no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best store foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Nemana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch to get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war.
This is war.
Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the second half of the show. I'm Kevin Gallagher. I'm sitting in for Pastor Butch Paul. As I said at the top of the show, if you didn't hear, he's still a little bit under the weather. He's fine. Don't worry about him. Pray for him. Taking over the captain's chair tonight and tomorrow night, and he'll be back very soon. He just wanted to let you guys know that. We have been talking with Bill and Kathy Farr, Pastor Bill and Kathy Farr in Wisconsin, and we've been talking about a variety of subjects having to do with current events, things that are going on. And Bill and Kathy, before we get back into what we were talking about, why don't we take a moment to just give the shameless plug about how people can hear your show.
Okay.
Sure. We have a show on the Truth Be Told Radio Network every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central Time, and it's called Look Up. And we usually do some political fodder and the news that you don't hear otherwise in the beginning, and then we do a Bible study, oftentimes related to the end times, but any type of Bible study for the second half of the show.
Fantastic. And folks, check out their show. I think you'll really like it. They do a nice job. And that's 7 o'clock on Tuesday nights, Eastern Time, 6 o'clock Central. Check it out on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. And folks, as before we went to the break, I was talking about the fact that we would have to drop our, you know, if we picked up our food or something for our dog, or we bought food, we'd have to wait in the car and then have the dog go in and be looked at the vet, and then they would call us and text us about what was going on. It's like the craziest thing I've ever seen, ever. I mean, that's how wacky it is. That's how wacky it is. It's crazy. Yeah. It's crazy.
This world has gotten crazy, and we think that the One World Order system was really jump-started by COVID and the election fraud.
And I agree with you, and I think the enemy is kind of trying to cheat a little bit and buy some extra time to be able to set up the finishing touches on the One World Order coming up to a theater near you. So it's I really do think that that's – I definitely have to be in agreement with you.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so,
we
wanted to talk a little bit about cancel culture.
And the assault. All-out assault on Trump and all his supporters.
Yes. And, you know, what's interesting is you look at their Article 230 that these companies like Google and Apple and Facebook and Twitter that they have because they're in social media technology. And, you know, it's really kind of interesting how they're trying to have it both ways, because that Article 230 says, oh, you can't hold these people accountable for what somebody is writing or saying on your platform. You're providing the platform, blah, blah, blah. But now they will censor you just like that. No problem. So they're having their cake and eating it too. But the problem when you do that is that leaves crumbs that you have to clean up later.
Well, right. You know, there's so many people that have been banned. I mean, I could not believe when I heard that the president of the United States was completely wiped out, banned from Twitter, from Facebook, from any social media. Plus, even his email account was shut down. And now, how in the world can any tech company do that?
It's amazing. And, you know, one thing I learned a while back in politics is that if you want to understand who's really in charge, figure out who it is you can't criticize. And right now we know that we have a government of, by, and for social media and tech companies. Isn't it wonderful?
Right. Yeah. And even normal people were fired from their jobs just because someone said that they attended the rally in D.C. or their own children turned them in.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in communist countries. The children would turn the parents in.
Exactly.
In fact, we did a little bit of a study on the Nazi propaganda, and Joseph Goebbels, I guess they called him, or Goebbels.
Yeah.
He started the propaganda, and he was able to infiltrate into all the media platforms, and then he would censor anyone that was opposing to their rhetoric, platforms, and so these, nobody had any way to refute or to dispute, just like what's happening with Trump and other conservatives being kicked off of social media platforms.
And also we read that Hitler started his movement or his regime by starting fires at political buildings. It was called Der Reichstag.
Yeah.
And they started the fires, Hitler did, and his group. They blamed the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept spouting that loudly and over again, blaming the opposition and saying that they should cancel, basically, the opposition if they didn't want those fires to start again. When in reality, he and his supporters were starting them. So doesn't that sound familiar?
It sounds all too familiar. And, you go back to Goebbels. There's an interesting interview that you can find on YouTube, and it's in German, of course, but there's subtitles. If you can find it, there's a reporter interviewing him talking about how masterful he was at propaganda and everything. And he goes, oh, no, I'm not the master. The master is one of your Americans, Edward Bernays. And the Nazis learned all this stuff from Edward Bernays. Edward Bernays is one of these guys you may never have heard of, but it's these guys that have so much influence into people's lives. Edward Bernays has been dead for a while. I lived to be 104. And you could sit outside the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in New York City, and you could watch ambassadors, heads of state, walking in and out of the Waldorf to go and see him. He's the reason why women smoked. He set that one up in the flappers, with the flappers in the 1920s. He's the reason why you eat bacon and eggs in the morning. He's the reason why there's a lot of things that people do that they don't even think about. He was the one that was able to get Harding elected. And, he was kind of like, any of your really good political spin doctors, this is the father of them. And
was he an avowed Marxist by any chance?
I am not sure, but there is a really great 4-hour film, if you can find it. It's called The Century of the Self. It was actually produced by the BBC, and he gets into all of it. He was the nephew on both sides of Sigmund Freud. And the reason that Sigmund Freud became popular is because Edward Bernays brought him to the United States. Freud was considered to be an absolute quack. And then he introduced him to all of his society friends, and we know the rest of the story. So he was connected to all different, you know, places, things, and he brought about a lot of societal change. He's the one, guys, that changed modern advertising. He's known as the father of modern advertising. You see, you go back long enough, you guys would be sitting around saying, you know, I need a new car. Well, the reason you need a new car is maybe you don't have one, or maybe the car is completely broken down, but you didn't think about buying a car until you actually needed it. And all the advertising was focused on what you needed and the need and this and that. And Edward Bernays came along and said, no, you're doing that all wrong. What you need to do, and you think, folks, you guys I'm talking to on the air at your homes, you're listening to this, close your eyes right now. Just close your eyes. I want you to picture any TV commercial with a car. You'll see the good-looking guy, the good-looking girl, the wind's going through the hair, and it's all about how you're going to feel when you have that car, how you're going to feel when you're driving that car, how you're going to feel when you're going so many miles an hour down the highway, and how great you're going to feel to have it. Never mind if you need it. It's just how you're going to feel when you have it. And that's how advertising changed under Edward Bernays. And understanding Bernays, you will get a really good idea of how we got into the cannibal soup that we're sitting in right now.
Right.
True. And the other thing that the Nazis did so well, which they're doing right now, is they have to have a scapegoat. So that would be President Trump and his supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Then they try to dehumanize them and demoralize them. And demonize them. And if you demonize your opponent and you make them as less than human, then it makes it really easy to cancel them or shut them down or kick them out or arrest them.
Well, how many times you heard them talk about our president as bad orange man? Calling him different names and calling him demented and, you know.
Deplorables.
Right.
Yep,
so, you know, they did the same thing with the Jewish people. The Nazis dehumanized them. They then made movies and documentaries and things, and they showed that the Jewish people, and then they showed them as being rats infiltrating and overtaking their neighborhoods and destroying things, and they did that enough times where people hated the Jewish people.
Right, and then they were just fine with getting rid of them.
Absolutely.
They no longer were even human.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening, and that's what we have to be concerned about.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's why Stalin was able to get away with murdering 80 million. That's why we see all this Pol Pot did the same thing. He murdered about a third of the countrymen in his country of Cambodia, and they even did a movie about that one, folks. It's called The Killing Fields. I would strongly suggest you watch that. He was put in power by Zbigniew Brzezinski, who put a guy by the name of Jimmy Carter, another guy by the name of Barack Obama, into power.
Yeah, well, you know, this stuff all doesn't happen overnight either. It's little by little, kind of like the frog in the water, where they start to boil the water, and it doesn't realize that the water is going to boil. And here we are in the same situation where little by little, these freedoms have been taken away, things have been said, things have been done, and it's all it's been doing is building a platform for the socialist agenda and the Marxists to take over. And that's really, their goal was to destroy America without firing a shot.
And they did it very slowly, too, over the last, say, 50 years.
Yes, exactly. They took their time, got places of importance, offices in government, judgeships. You know, they did it very meticulously and little by little, and used universities to propagandize our kids that went to the colleges, and now kids are coming out of colleges saying that Marxism is a good thing. You know,
I talked to her two weeks ago, and she told me proudly she voted for Joe Biden. And I looked at her, I said, why did you do that? And she goes, well, I got a student loan, and he's going to cancel all the student loans. I need my student loan canceled.
That's right.
Exactly. That's their whole ideal. Hitler did the same kind of thing. What he pushed the people. They're doing bad in Germany. The economy was rotted out, and it was failing. And he pumped it up by building a war machine. And of course, you know, we saw where it went. But the thing was is that he promised, and got these people involved. And then he surrounded himself with these evil individuals that didn't hesitate to shoot anybody or torture them or imprison them.
Because they've already demonized them.
Yeah, if you spoke against the Reich, you were imprisoned. You were sent to the camps for re-education. Well, you never came back.
Well, and that's what they're calling for now. They're saying, this was funny, we heard a news report the other day that said, well, now that we've gotten rid of Trump, if only all of his supporters would disappear. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, and that, folks, would be civil war. And I'll tell you, that is something that puts chills down my spine, because when we go back to the 1800s with the civil war that we had there, there was a lot less population in the country. So when you look at the numbers that they've revised now, I've heard about 600,000 people died in that war. I don't know what those kind of numbers would be now when you look at the 300-something million who are here, but that is the worst possible thing that could happen to any country, a civil war, because it destroys the country completely.
Well, you can see why they want to disarm the population, because we are, I heard this somewhere, in the United States, we have the largest armed militia of anywhere in the world, because just about every person in the United States owns a gun. And so one of the first things they want to do is disarm us. And that's going to not go over too well. And so we can see the tribulation being, you know, set up, and the rapture being very close, because what's going to happen is Christians are going to disappear, and they're going to get everything they want.
Mm-hmm. So let me do this. January 6th, I think, was a day that'll live in infamy for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay, to quote a president. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I like to call it was actually the epiphany.
Yeah.
And there is a definition of epiphany that has nothing to do with the feast day. It's defined as an intuitive grasp of reality through a striking event or an illuminating discovery or realization or disclosure being revealed. So it's in a moment or a scene. So that to us is what happened on that day. It was revealed that Mike Pence was a traitor, for example. He betrayed President Trump.
Yes.
It was revealed what was really going on behind the scenes and how deep the deep state was to shut down an entire discussion, which is allowed by the Constitution, to question the electors for certain states. The incitement of this mob, but it wasn't really Trump supporters. It was planned. It was an incitement by BLM or Antifa to create this disturbance so that everything would be shut down and the process, which was constitutional, would not be allowed to progress.
Right.
There were several things that happened on that day, too. Not only did we find out that police were pulled back, six times we found out that the police chief of the Capitol Police requested National Guard to be there because he knew that there was going to be hundreds of thousands of individuals there.
Almost a million.
And just by logic, you know that not all those people are going to be Trump supporters. There are going to be some people infiltrating, false flags, they call it, that will say that they belong to Trump, but they don't. And they've already facially identified these individuals that they were in the Capitol. They were the ones busting the windows. And Trump supporters were just standing around. Well, also what happened that day was a paper was released by the FBI, a report, a 280-some pages report that was on the basically covered the Pelosi family, or the her dad and brother, and some of the things that she did.
And mob affiliation.
Yes.
Real mob affiliation.
Her dad was closely tied to the mob and did some things that, you know, in Baltimore he was the mayor and he also was a congressman. And then her brother was involved in raping little children, and he got off scot-free because daddy went to the mob and went to the, you know, people he paid off and whatever, got him off scot-free. And then her, even her son has been involved in fraudulent security trading, and she herself owned that Goat Hill pizzeria, and this was suspected of child trafficking. Well, you didn't hear anything about that report being released. Why? Because they were all in a frenzy about the Capitol
incident. The false flag riot.
Yeah.
So January to us was a real epiphany, a rude awakening.
Huge.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, if the three of us went and put on, you know, Denver Broncos outfits, you know, the uniforms, put on the helmet, all the way down to the cleats, the pads and everything, does that mean that we're players for the Denver Broncos?
It wouldn't take them too long to find out we weren't.
No, and if Antifa or BLM puts on Trump gear and walks around the Capitol, does that mean that they're Trump supporters?
Exactly right. Oh. Yeah.
But if it was planned and they were going to use that as a way to shut down President Trump and his supporters and any question about the election, oh, well, then it worked.
Yeah, well, what better way to infiltrate something? That's what spies do, you know, they dress up like the part, they play the part. And oh, by the way, talking about spies, how in the world does Eric Swalwell continue to be in the Senate when he was compromised by a Chinese spy? And as far as I'm concerned, they should have thrown him out of the Senate.
And he was made manager of the impeachment effort. What
really
kind of world is this?
We're in a bizarro world.
One that's upside down and inside out, but it's a very good thing, though, that we have a savior and that he is returning to take us out of all of this mess.
Amen. You know, we as Christians, we don't have to worry about these things. We can be upset, and certainly we should write senators. We should write our congresspeople.
We did that.
I have done it, too.
I called them. Bill wrote them.
Yeah, I like to write the emails. But, you know, we should contact them, let them know what we feel, and we should stand up for the truth and not fear, just like as we've been doing as far as this COVID virus thing. We've been standing up and following our heart on this whole thing, and we as Christians should do the same thing in politics and whatever else, and you know, whatever comes. It's like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that would not bow down to the statue, and so they were thrown into the furnace, and they told the king, they said, even if you do, and even if we don't survive, we aren't going to bow down to your statue. And that's the way we should be as Christians. You know, you can do whatever you want with us, but we're going to follow the Lord, and we're not going to be afraid.
Right. Do not live in fear, or they win, because they will have crippled us.
Yeah. It's absolutely, everything you're saying is true. And, you know, and to go backwards a little bit, think about any movie, especially action adventure, Bond, whatever, Bond films. What happens at some point in every one of these films? The good guy finds a guard or somebody, hits him over the head, knocks him out, takes his outfit, and then sneaks into the place. This is not a stretch of the imagination. This happens in just about 95% of all the films that you watch, TV shows, too. So, yeah, if they can do it on TV, they can do it in real life, I'm sure. So, you know, but go ahead, Bill.
Exactly. I was just going to say, you know, Satan, it says in the scripture, he can masquerade as an angel of light.
Right.
And so here's the great infiltrator. He comes into churches. He comes into, you know, places where people are trying to do the right thing. And he'll infiltrate those organizations and try to shut them down. And that's what we have to be aware of, even in the church, even in Christian circles. They're not going to come right out and say, hey, I'm with Satan and I'm going to destroy your church. They do it from the inside out.
Yeah, it's true. And one thing to remember is that life in many ways is an election. The devil's always voting against you. God is always voting for you. So it's your vote that determines which way the election goes.
Yeah. Yeah, and I told somebody just the other day, and I've preached it before, is that the only time that the devil can win is when we give up.
Yes. And you can't give up. You got to just keep
absolutely.
Keep
we're
along.
Here. We're more than conquerors. We're the ones that are the winners. And the devil knows the final outcome. You know, he just is trying to take down as many as he can while he can. And that's kind of like the guy with the machine gun and saying, I may be going, but I'm not going to go alone. And that's Satan.
Yes. Right.
Yeah. And when,
also, don't you kind of feel, Kevin, that something big is still going to happen?
You know, it's funny you say that because I tell my wife this almost every day, and that is I feel, and I can't shake the feeling, I feel like it's right before, here in Connecticut, let me just put it this way, here in Connecticut, we're not known for tornadoes, but I've had three of them rip through our yard here in the last 2 years. And
wow.
right before a storm like that comes in, the sky sometimes even gets this weird green color. Everything gets really still, really quiet. And then in a few minutes, you know that all hell is going to break loose on the land.
Yep.
And that's what it feels like in my spirit. That's what I keep feeling. And I know that we're within 48 hours of noon on Wednesday, the 20th. And I'm telling people, you need to pray down any kind of a false flag, any kind of big event. I'm talking JFK assassination level. I'm talking 9/11 level. And praying that and binding, doing everything you can to bind that up and get it so that these people confuse the enemy. Just like the army that Gideon was going up against, what happened? They turned their swords and everything on each other.
And
you can pray for that confusion to come into their camp. We can be clear and focused, and we don't need the numbers because God knew make a majority, and Gideon proved that, 300 against how many hundreds of thousands of troops. Gideon won that battle last time I read the Bible. So we can do things because God and you are the majority.
Yep.
So we just need to be praying to confuse the enemy and to bind up everything that he wants to do, every plot, plan, scheme, every curse, assignment, attachment, to bind it up. Bind it up good
we
so
agree.
That he can't move.
Yes.
We agree, and we're calling on anyone we know to pray that way.
Yeah.
You know? Because it won't go away. It won't go away. I feel it in the pit of my soul. And I wake up and I'm thinking, we got to pray that down. We got to pray that down because right now, the way that these things always work and the reason that these false flags are done is because they want to be the hero. They want the worship. They want to be honored and worshiped and be looked upon as the heroes, not the goats.
Yeah.
Not the skunks.
And they want to crush us.
Yeah.
Yes, at the same time. So, hey, Kathy Farr, thank you so much for joining me here tonight. I'm Kevin Gallagher, sitting in for Pastor Butch. Well, I hope you enjoyed the program. I'm going to be here, it looks like, again tomorrow night. So please tune in again tomorrow night. If you can take this Yankee, hey, thank you. Have a great night, folks. Bye-bye. God bless.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk. CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.